All right, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa. And we've been talking about the parable of the wise and the foolish builders.
Yeah, the parable, two builders, same storm, foundation is different. The rock is Jesus, not a set of rules, but a person who builds their house on the rock is a person who returns to Jesus. And the storm is not a sign of failure. It comes for everyone.
Oh, yeah. And then we looked at Luke's version of the parable where he adds that the builder dug down deep. And we talked about what digging looks like. It looks like honest prayer, real engagement with the words, community that goes below the surface. And we said that building isn't one sort of dramatic decision. It's thousands of small, consistent, unremarkable choices, really.
And so today we're going to zoom out and we're going to look at the parable through the lens of time. Not just what you're building right now, but what you're building for. Who comes after you? What will still be standing when you're gone? And what does it mean to build on the rock when you will not be around to see the house finished?
Well, that's the legacy question.
Yeah, let's get into it. I want to go back to the parable one more time and look at it through a little bit different lens. In Matthew 7, Jesus says the wise builder's house did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. The house did not fall.
It didn't. It not just survived the storm. It did not fall.
The permanence in the language, I think, is really interesting. And I want to ask a question we do not usually ask about the parable. Who lives in the house after the storm? Because the builder built it, the storm came, the house stood, but the builder will not live in that house forever.
Okay, where are you going with this?
I'm going to legacy, and I think you already identified that. I'm going to the idea that the builder building on the rock is not just about you. It's not about your stability. It's about what you leave behind, the house you build on, your family, your church, your community, the people you poured into. That house will still be standing after you if the foundation is right, if you went deep, if the material that you built it upon was good.
Yeah, but if it was built on sand, it looks a little different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can see this in the Old Testament, right? Like, the first generation of Israelites are like, we're all in. The next generation gets a little bit off the beaten path, and they build on a little something different, a little bit slipperier slope. And it's like, oh, it's no big deal. It's not a big deal that we do this or do that. You know, they're just old fuddy duds over there. And then the third generation, they're out of control every time.
Every time. Over and over again.
Oh, out of control.
Yeah.
And then God has to send somebody. He has to send a prophet or a judge, or he has to send somebody to help them. And then they come back and they begin building, not always right away, but they come back at some point with them building back on the rock, building back on God, building back. And it's just over and over again, this idea. But what if we built a legacy past the legacy? And just really challenge that next generation to, like, we're going to hand it off, that we're building on Jesus, and it's all about Jesus, and we are expecting, we're believing, we're trusting that you too are going to build on Jesus.
Oh, yeah, and this is where Paul might be helpful, right?
Yeah, this is in 1 Corinthians 3:6-9. It says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have no purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. They have one purpose, not no purpose. And for we're co-workers in this. And I think that's a beautiful picture of that legacy. Like, we're working for God to do something. We're working toward the legacy. And the only legacy that actually matters is Jesus. It's always about the rock.
Yeah, well, and Paul didn't see everything that he planted come to fruit either. Right? He wouldn't leave to see the full harvest of what he started. And he was okay with that because he understood his role. He was a coworker, not the owner. And he wasn't the one who makes things grow. He was a coworker.
Yeah, I think of like we're in this cool building, Shopko, or the Shopko Church. But I think the guy who started this is Weihaizen was his name. He started this a long, long time ago with a vision to reach college students. And I think about that often. Like, he could never imagine this. They actually bought a house on College Avenue and they had a, I think it was an ice cream place.
Dairy Frost.
And he was just like, the college students would live there and they would work there and they would go to school. But he really just wanted them to know Jesus. Single focus, single idea, single thought. And in 1975, I think it was, they called a full-time pastor named Steve Wilson. And his single focus was college students and Michigan Tech. He did his dissertation on, can a church be just formed of college students?
No.
And it's a really, really easy answer. You've got it. No. All his research came to no.
Oh, they you eat too many Cheetos.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's just this beautiful picture of, I don't think he could have imagined this, but every time it's the same purpose. The purpose of evangel is for people to meet, know, and follow Jesus. We want to live the good news in the Copper Country and share it with the world. It's singular purpose all the way through, foundation and legacy. And so we honor every one of those people, but we honor them not by preserving a building or a frosty, tasty freeze. What was that thing called? Dairy Frost.
Dairy Frost.
We didn't preserve that. We said, you know, how we honor them is building our lives upon the rock, building our lives upon Jesus. And that is how we honor their legacy that they left us. And we stand on in this footing because they did that. And hopefully the next generation will do that also as we stand in that firm foundation.
Well, yeah. And I think that when we're thinking about legacy in this way, it changes the way that decisions are made. It changes the kind of work that we're doing.
Yeah, I think what it does is it requires us to let go. Like, you know, someday I will hand this thing over to somebody else. And I hope they live on the same foundation, that they're going to preach the gospel. We preach Christ and we boast in him alone. Like, I hope that is true. But we're going to work everything that we can in this time period, in this era, to do that. And I think then we hand it off. And I think that's what we've already been digging that thing out. And so when it's given to the next person, that foundation is already there. And it's never about the individual. It's never about their era. And I think that's where churches get confused sometimes. Like, well, we did it this way.
Oh, yeah.
We had this, or we had that. Or do you remember when? And those walking through the nostalgia is a beautiful thing, because I think it's a grace of God that he allowed people to gather in his name, raise their kids. And it was impactful, all of the sermons that were preached. But we don't stay there, because the building in the parable is an active thing. We continue to build. The work isn't done until Jesus comes. The work isn't done. We keep building on one thing and one thing only, and that is Jesus. And so I think that's really important in all of our lives, whether it be in our church life or in our family lives. Like, we're passing down a legacy of Jesus. That is the legacy that we pass down.
Well, yeah. And if we've been building on the rock, then our identity isn't located in what I have built, right? Or what you have built, but the one that we build it for. And then we can let it go. We can release it. We can hand it off. And we can even watch it change in ways that we wouldn't have picked, and trust that God is still making things grow.
Well, if we don't build it that way, it will not last.
No, and then we'll get ulcers.
Well, right. Like, I can't wait for this, but like, someday when I retire, like, they're going to do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I should care about is not that they do it differently, and I may think it's poppycock crazy what they're doing. I probably will. But are they preaching Jesus? Are they speaking the truth of who he is? Are they building their lives on the rock? That's what I should care about. not whether or not they have a band or a piano or they're here or there. And like my kids someday, they're going to be, Lord willing, they'll be dads. And my prayer is always, man, have I done enough to impact them to know that they need to live on the rock, that they see their daddy and their mama living on the rock and they want that too, to live on the rock. That's always the question in our family. It's always the question here at Evangel. Are we living for Jesus?
Well, yeah, and that also means like if you're living for Jesus, that in the way you describe, you're not indispensable either.
No, we say this all the time here. We're all replaceable.
Yep.
You know,
I'm hoping for next Tuesday.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Well, I mean, we created a preaching team here, and I make a joke all the time that, you know, if something happens to me, I get hit by a bus. We got 6 sermons because they all have an emergency sermon. They all got one all ready to load it up and ready to go. But I think that's important to train and to work with people. And, you know, our whole thing is like what we trained off is we preach Jesus. They know that when they get into that place, into that pulpit, and they open the Word of God, we are looking at what does this mean? What does this, how does this look at Jesus? How does this point to Jesus? And how does it point our people to Jesus? And I think that's important.
Yeah, and that's good news.
It's super good news because it's the greatest news ever. Jesus came for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He went to the cross for us. He gave his body. He shed his blood for you and for me. And he loved us that much to take on flesh. He's God. God Almighty took on flesh for us and died for us. And if we place our faith in him, we have a relationship with him and we also have eternal life. Man, that is good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.